Blog Talk Radio.
Live from the nation's capital, it's the Power of Poetics, the DC Poetry Project's open mic call-in show.
Project's open mic call-in show, Power Poetics. What we'd like to do is to just say, hey, hello, welcome to all of you for sharing your time with us tonight. Remember, the call-in number is 646-716-8754. This show is about people coming together, poets, spoken word artists, writers, coming together to celebrate the power of words in all its forms. We've been on the air now for quite some time, and to be quite honest, our statistics are pretty high. We've had over 1,000 people tune in to at least some part of some of our shows over the course of the last 30 weeks. So again, I want to say thank you to all of those people who've tuned in from around the world, all of those people who've archived our show. So again, welcome to the Power of Poetics. My name is Michael Anthony Ingram, and we will take a short break and come right back. We'll come right back in a moment. No, we won't do that. What I'll do is bring some people on the air. All right, hold on. We've got people. Hold on. All right. Gary, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
All right, great. Got one more person. Hold on 1 second. Area code 301, are you there?
I'm here.
All right, area code 301, welcome to the Power of Poetics. I apologize for the delay. My computer. Well, hey, but we're together now, everybody. So welcome to the Power of Poetics. Hopefully my computer doesn't die again in the middle of the show. So what I'd like to do is to start off with a little piece, if that's okay. Is that okay?
It's definitely okay with me.
All right. It's called, I'm a little rattled now. It's called In Whosever Hotel Room This Is, and it's by Matt Rasmussen, and he is the winner, was the winner of the Walt Whitman Award based from the Academy of American Poets, called Black Aperture. All right. If it were up to me, the Bible would begin, a man steps into a field. I'd forgotten what's in the background when he took the photograph of me. I wouldn't see it until later. When I did, it was just a wall, and my smile was a mouthful of rocks. A little after it was clicked off, the TV screen light condensed down a drain. Even when the television had become an aquarium full of black water, that last bright dot burned in my eye. On the back of my photo, you wrote, "This isn't you," and you were right. It no longer was. That is Matt Rasmussen's In Whosever Hotel Room This Is. This is the Power of Poetics. I'm a little rattled, so welcome. Gary, do you have a poem for us? Are you there? Hello?
I'm here. Can you hear me now?
I can hear you now, yes. I'm not sure what happened.
Yeah, I had my mic muted. Because,
okay.
I was moving around.
Let me see this first. Area code 301. What is your first name? Area code 301?
Misha.
Misha, how are you?
I'm great, thank you. How are you?
Great. Oh, fantastic. I know that you remember the DC Poetry Project. I've been waiting on you to come on the air. This is fantastic.
Oh, well, I'm so happy. I've actually listened to the show and never really called in before, so I'm happy to be.
Oh, so you've listened to the show before?
Yes.
Oh, great, great, great. That's fantastic. I apologize for all the difficulty in terms of the technical piece, but I'm glad you're here. You make my evening.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
Great, great, great. So, Gary, I apologize. Gary is a fantastic poet. So, Gary, you're on the air, my friend.
Okay. Thank you. I want to read this poem in honor of celebrate Father's Day to come. No, it ain't. Yeah, it's Father's Day Sunday, ain't it? Ain't Father's Day Sunday?
Yeah.
Father's Day is Sunday, yes, sir.
Yeah, okay, yeah. Yeah. This poem is called In His Image. And God said, let us make man in our image. Adam begat Seth on likeness. Abraham begat Isaac, and Isaac begat Jacob. Jesse begat David, and David begat Solomon. Jacob begot Joseph, the husband of Mary, and thousands of generations of men since, shepherds, princes, players, pastors, presidents, construction workers, architects, mayors, governors, kings, professional leaders, doctors, astronauts, farmers, and teachers. From the Garden of Eden, the sands of Egypt, the grain fields of Ghana, to the plantation deep in the south and the inner cities in the north, the shores of the Atlantic and beaches on the Pacific, come real men of all sizes and hues, created in his image. Imagine that from the hands of holiness, El Shaddai shaped, mold, and made greatness, sanctified and set apart for good works. And who would have thought such could come from dirt? Jesus and the 12 disciples, including Apostle Paul, Moses, Mandela, Marcus, Malcolm, and Martin, resided in the house of God, men created in his image. In his image. Deacons, elders, pastors, bishops roam the halls. Far from perfect, every man have their issues, have had made mistakes and faced temptation, weather several storms and many trials and tribulations, even dealing with the painful thorns in the flesh. Segregation couldn't separate us from success, and a noose couldn't hang our ambition nor lynch our determination. Bitter hatred couldn't stop the love that flows in our heart, and we've been fighting a good fight of faith from the start. Created in his image, we have slain giants with a slingshot, enlisted and fought in many battlefields. We are the Buffalo Soldiers and the Tuskegee Airmen. We wrote and evoked and started a revolution. We put our fish together in a Black Panther movie. Gil Scott Heron, Nate Turner, Huey B. Newton. We are creators, inventors, authors, politicians, and lawyers. George Washington Carvers and the Ralph Ellison, the Barack Obamas, and the Thurgood Marshalls. Musicians, comedians, entertainers, and Oscar-winning actors, the Duke Ellingtons, the Richard Pryors, the Sammy Davis Jr., the Denzels, and the Sydneys, hard-working athletes and businessmen excelling in several arenas, the Jackie Robinson, the Joe Louis, the Jim Brown, the Arthur Ashe, the Tiger Woods, and the Michael Jordan. God's clay creation, we are sons, brothers, fathers, husbands, godfathers, uncles, nephews, role models, and godfathers. Strong, God-fearing, real men created in his image.
Amen.
Beautiful, beautiful, Gary. As
beautiful.
Always, my friend, you come from the base of your heart, man, from the base of your soul, from your gut when you write. So I always enjoy listening to you. Always, always enjoy listening to you. You calm
Thank
the troubled
you,
waters, buddy. Calm the troubled waters. All right. Pasha, would you like to share?
Pasha?
Are you there? Yes.
Misha?
Misha. I'm sorry. Like I said, again, my computer crashed, so I'm a little off. Misha, please. Please, would you like to share?
I will say I didn't call in with the intention to share. And, you know, after that profound, beautiful poem, I'm a little intimidated.
Oh, no. No. You know, on this show, on this show, we walk in the spirit. So we all share, you know. Just share what's on your heart.
I guess I could share something. I don't think I have anything that is as profound.
Don't worry about that. It's not about that. It's about just sharing who you are and what you believe. There's no comparisons.
I understand that. I fully understand that. Let me just see if I have something to share.
Okay.
I would be a spectator.
All right. Okay. Right. Do you want to wait a little while? Okay, great.
If you have something that you would go to first, then I'll definitely come back around it.
Okay.
Sure.
All right then. We've got another caller coming in, so let me dial this person in really quickly, and let's see. Hold on. Good evening. Erico 703, first letter is 5. You're on the air.
Hi, Michael. This is Tavor.
Hello. How are you?
I'm well. How are you doing?
Great. It's been a while since I've seen you at the program that we had.
Yeah, a couple of weeks.
Right. Are you still in the area? I thought you had moved to Texas.
You might be mixing me up with someone else. No, I'm still in the D.C. area.
Well, that's good. That's even better. That's even better. All right. Well, what I'm going to do, we've got a couple of people on the air. It's a little rattled tonight just due to some technical difficulties, but that's okay. We're going to be here in the spirit. I'd like to share a piece that I view as being experimental. And I'd like you to work with me as I share this piece, because experimental poetry is about being able to move beyond the boundaries of what you believe in terms of what poetry should be, whatever those boundaries are. And it's also about being able to say, hey, this is me, this is who I am, I don't need to be prescribed in terms of my way of being. Are you ready?
Yeah.
Everybody ready? All right. This is called the grocery store. All right, this is called the grocery store. Orange juice, wheat bread, peanut butter, tuna, green tea, 3 ounces of any meat, string beans, carrots, eggs, hard-boiled, 1 banana, saltine crackers, turkey, hot dogs, broccoli, yogurt, that's lactose-free, cheddar cheese, an apple, a cantaloupe, and some ice cream sandwiches. The end. Hello?
Your experimentation, you share with us a grocery list, and you want to know, I guess, how poetic we might find it to be.
Yeah.
That's what that sounded like to me. Your grocery list.
I'd like you to share with me. Oh, boy, I was on a diet one time, and I found a list of foods that I needed to purchase, so I just thought I'd read them. Gary, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
What were some of your thoughts, my friend?
Huh? I was wondering what. I was really wondering what inspired you to write that. What, I mean, what was going on?
I was just looking for stuff to share tonight on there, and I was going through a notebook, and that list was in it. I said, shoot, I'm going to go ahead and read this.
You're going to make a poem out of it now. You're going to
make a poem out of it. I can't swing it like you can. But, I mean, you'd have had all the fruit dancing and swaying to the soul music. So that's your task next week, Gary, to write a poem based on going to the grocery store.
Oh, wow. See what I can do.
All right. Misha, you're on. So you know you listen to us every week, so you know how this thing goes. You know, so it's crazy. So please share.
I appreciate you lightening the mood with this.
All right. Oh, yeah. All right. Would you like me to take a little commercial?
So I can definitely.
Okay.
I'll share something.
Beautiful. All
right. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Okay. I don't really have a title for this poem, so.
Oh, no problem.
The American dream would have us believe that the life of Leave It to Beaver is what we need to achieve. Different people, different ways, different means, all trying to succeed in accomplishing the make-believe. But in reality, no one's life is all sugar and spice. Not every man and woman will become a husband and wife. Not every boy and girl is going to have a mom and dad to school them, to love them, to teach them about what's right and what's bad. And yes, it's sad, but it's life. You see, we're living in a time that bottles the mind, where priests are predators and police are slime. Everybody's dying from one epidemic or another. Politicians are lying to keep their mess under covers. Kids aren't just kids, they're fathers and mothers, sisters loving sisters and brothers loving brothers. And if it isn't one thing, it's always another. But that's life. Terrorists get trained to kill us by us, sitting on the train or the bus right beside us. Parents killing their children killing their siblings. It's gotten so that life is the cost of living. We risk our lives just going outside, but then again, we aren't safe inside. And these are the days of our lives. Teachers are underpaid and overworked. Children are overlooked and under dirt. And it hurts to know that humanity in this day and age is insanity. For you can't trust what you don't know, and you don't know what you can trust. So benefit of a doubt is a no-no, and skepticism is a must. It's unjust, but it's life. See, we are all but mere mortals, pushed through life's portal, taking the world as is. And though some protest and others pray for the best, we can only live and let live. We are the hunters and the prey, told to live for today, because there's no guarantee that tomorrow will ever be. And it's not sad, it's the fallacy of reality. Yeah. American dream.
Wow. And you did not want to share.
Right. That was awesome, right?
I just got a little nervous, like my butterfly.
Right. Well, that's all right. Because you allow those butterflies to soar, and they spread throughout the world. That was beautiful. That line at the very beginning, it may have been line number 3 about entering the world of the make-believe. What did you say?
The American dream would have us believe that the life of Leave It to Beaver is what we need to achieve.
Oh, wow, that's deep. Talk about your inspiration for that piece. What inspired you to write it?
Life, comparison, my life compared to what I saw on television.
Right.
It just, what I saw on television, of course, growing up during my time, just wasn't necessarily real for me.
Understandable. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Wow. Wow, that was deep. Questions from
That's
anyone?
That's actually a
for Misha.
Very...
Yes.
I'm sorry?
No, go ahead, please.
I wrote that poem when I was a little bit younger. It's one of my go-tos. It's something that I know off top. I write a lot, and I don't always remember everything immediately, but, you know, it's one of my go-tos, so...
So you recited it from memory?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. So do you travel the country? Do you travel around as a performance poet, a spoken word artist?
No.
You don't?
No. Occasionally I go to open mic and do busboys and poets and things like that, but no.
You should. You should. We're going to work on that.
Okay.
All right. If we see it, we can achieve it. All right, we're going to take just a short little break and come right back. Our breaks on this show are very, very short. Seriously, they're very, very short. But we'll be right back with the DC Poetry Project's open mic call-in show, Poets on Fire. Like I said, our breaks are very, very short. Please call in at 646-716-8754. My name is Michael Anthony Ingram. You're here live with all of us. We've got another caller. Hold on 1 second. I'm going to bring this person in. Area code 703, you're on the air. The first letter of your number is 7.
Hey, Mike. Hello.
Hello.
Hi, this is Sarita. How are you?
Hello, Sarita. Now, this is a pleasant surprise. How are you tonight?
Hello, everyone. How are you guys?
Hi.
Oh. All right. Everyone, share your name with Serena. All right. Start with you, Gary.
I'm Gary. Alabama.
Gary. Where? Alabama.
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 Wow.
All right.
Misha. This is Kavor. I'm in D.C. I also have a 703 area code.
All right.
Hello there.
All right. All right. I think, Misha, you're next.
I'm sorry?
Okay, just your name and where you're from.
I am Misha. I'm calling from Prince George's County, Maryland.
All right. All right. Thank
Hi,
you, Sarita.
Yes.
Wow, this is truly a pleasant surprise. How have you been? Like we walking
busy.
Down the street. How have you been?
Busy? So busy.
All right.
But
all
I
right.
tell
do
you, I just find it a joy all the time. You know, when I listen in to your blog.
Oh, well, great.
You know,
great.
Really great.
Great. It's great. It's glad to have you here. Tovar, would you like to share?
Yeah. I was,
right.
Mine is going to be a standard poem. I was looking for something that's not, wouldn't necessarily be classified as a poem, but I'm unable to open that file, so.
Okay. Don't worry about it. It's been a tough night for me, too, so go ahead. Go ahead.
Okay. This is called What They Say, What I Say. Let me take you guys off speaker. Hello, beautiful. Why you look so mean? You should smile more. I've had many passerbys, men, women, from bums to businessmen, tell me I'm beautiful. I have a wonderful smile. I have a sexy walk and that I'm gorgeous. Unfortunately, those things are not apparent in the thoughts of lots of black heterosexual men my age. See, the passerbys, they don't owe me anything. Or need pay me mind, and neither do you. But at the same time, their compliments are voluntary, and you act like a nice verbal acknowledgement is unnecessary. You say it's because you don't want my head to blow up, which doesn't make any sense.
Do you want to witness me as unhappy? Hello, beautiful. Why you look so mean? You should smile more. I'm not mean. As a matter of fact, I've been too nice, you see. What's mean is bringing me joy, then snatching it back from me. What may look like a mean expression is a sad one, really, because I know that subconsciously you degrade me, compete to financially outdo and mentally outsmart me by lying, making false promises of fidelity. I never asked for a fake-ass wannabe fairy tale story for you to tell me. Hello, beautiful. Why you look so mean? You should smile more. I will smile more upon a receipt of loving kisses upon my face, his hope, confidence, and truth on display. And once bitter is removed and sweetness I taste. But that day is not present. The day when the epiphany gradually begins to ransack his brain and he realizes the only reason I would only glance at he whom is walking round with a white accomplice is because he never had much self-esteem. So even harder it be to embrace his own family, to love his own skin, his own culture, ethnicity, to recognize his own black sister and her position as princess, graduating to queen. And I'm not saying that he should fantasize or romanticize the idea of living and creating life with someone who looks like me after his brainwash process is reversed. He should live through with someone like him.
Wow.
I like that. Nice.
I mean, and given the present controversy that's happening in the nation in terms of the NAACP president in Spokane, Washington, I mean, that's truly, truly, that's right on time in terms of being who you are. I think so, yes.
Well, that's funny that you say that because I wrote that back in 2010. So...
Well, it just shows that things never change. Correct me if I'm wrong. Things should change.
Yeah. Yeah. They say the more things change, the more they stay the same. That's pretty evident.
Right. So you wrote that back in 2010. Kind of talk a little bit, I mean, I could say what your inspiration may have been, but what led you to write that piece? What led you to phrase it in the way that you phrased it?
Well, I want to say the main context of it was just, you know, when you're women, we know, you know, we're generally out in public, and there's been a lot of, I guess, conversation about this, you know, recently too, just on the street, you know, street harassment. But, you know, I dug deep and actually decided to write about it just because it's like I would like for men to try to, you know, put themselves in the woman's shoes, you know, when they decide they want to say things like that to, you know, a woman that they see, just, you know, in general. It's like, think about what you're saying, and, you know, it's like, how would you respond to that if just somebody randomly says something like that to you? You know, we have a lot on our minds often, you know, so for somebody to tell you, to try to command you to do something that they think you should be doing, it's like, who do you think you are, and who do you think I am? Like, I have things that are, you know, I'm processing that, you know, I have to plan for, et cetera. So that's what motivated me to write about that.
Wow. Very powerful. Any thoughts from anyone else? Any comments?
I love the poem. I get that a lot, and I can relate. So kudos to you.
Thank you.
And I would
Thank
like
you.
To.
This I'm glad is you enjoyed it.
Yeah, this is Sarita. I'm going to piggyback off of that as well. Kudos. It's truth. You know what I mean? So it was good. Thank you.
Sure. I'm glad you liked it.
Right. Sarita, would you like to share?
I have a poem.
All right, great. Great.
I recently wrote. The title of it is Black Man, And the reason why I wrote this is because, you know, the, you know, all the news that's been out about our black men getting killed and are in prison, you know, getting hurt in hospital and so forth, you know, it really touched me. So I wrote this poem called Black Man, and there's a story first prior to the poem. So here it goes. I'm a little nervous. My voice is shaking a little bit, but bear with me.
All right, that's right. We're with you.
Okay. While sitting in church in the last back row, I just happened to observe the many people in the congregation to be mostly women. And for the first time, I realized that most of them could be single mothers, grandmothers, sisters, aunts, and girlfriends of our missing black men. As I sat, my mind was captured in realizing the various reasons why the visibility of our black men could be missing. My heart became heavy and was in pain. You know, sometimes I just can't understand the pain that lies within the truth. I remember in the book of Proverbs 3:5-6 said to trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto your own understanding, but in all ways acknowledge him and he shall direct your path. Though at times I'm unable to understand, like most of us, I have to let go and let God. But this time I just sat and wonder about the black man. And the poem goes, black man, what do you do when you're falsely accused and abused too? Don't give up and stay strong as you can be. God knows you've done nothing wrong, and in him you're free. Black man, how do you feel as your life becomes so unreal? Believe in God, for he'll guide your soul from the lies that have been wrongly told. Black man, walk with your head high, knowing your heritage. For history holds great power to what we will succeed. The truth does reveal itself if you believe. Black man, why are you given into pain? Injustice is not worth you going insane. Have faith in knowing that this shall pass, for everything in life will not last. Black man, are you guarding your dreams? They will help you to stay alive, as weird as it may seem. Always remember that you will smile again, even though life may appear to be at its end. So open your eyes and don't you worry to see what we stand, to see that we stand with you towards victory in God's glory. Black man.
Sarita.
Wow.
That was beautiful.
Wow.
And I'm going to tell you why it was beautiful. I'm going to tell you why it was beautiful to me. Being a black man, feeling as if there's been situations where I felt that I was on the verge of going insane. And that one line that you stated about insane, to not be insane, that really touched me. Because to live in this world as a black man, to live in a world that was, or this particular world, in this particular context, which was not truly designed for us, has been difficult. And that's why I make this statement every week about the power of poetry, to just lay it out there, to allow it to be, to allow it to just flow from you, and to talk about those experiences that either you've had or someone else has had that speaks a truth. Black man, I understand.
Right.
And I'm going to receive your words the best that I can.
Totally. Yes.
Gary, as another brother on the line, or anyone, any comments? That was a very powerful piece.
Yeah,
it
was. That was
black
really
man, black.
Yeah.
So yeah, I felt honored.
Yeah, Gary, please. I'm sorry, sir.
Listen, I just felt honored and privileged, you know, that in that trip, you know, that tribute, contribute to black, you know, like you said, being a black man and the daily things that we face, you know, our struggles and some of the things that, you know, that seen and unseen, that was really very heartfelt, and I appreciate it personally. I took it personally.
Yeah.
I thank you.
Yes, kudos to you. That was beautiful.
Note to the women, when injustice is based on our black man's skin color, position yourselves to intelligently proceed in supporting your brother. That's the last of it all.
You know, here's a piece. I've got a book coming out sometime. I don't know when. I've been working on this for the last 6 years. But it's, the book is called When Cherry Blossoms Fall on Black Skin. And this is called Racism, Historical and Modern. Historically, racism in America was an overt and orderly affair, like dining with royalty. The etiquette of racism suggested employing openly displayed conventional yet unwritten rules of social behavior, often codified over time, such as lynching, bombings, fire hoses, poll taxes, dogs. Racism in modern America is still an orderly affair, yet increasingly covert, like flailing about blindly, like a speck of pepper in a sea of salt. Racism is no longer as easy to see. There's some more, but I'm feeling full right now, and I don't want to keep going.
Wow.
It's just that. I'm just going to just say this. It says subtly, like it's now manifests itself behind loud yet cerebral frames of "We shall overcome," "Come by here, my Lord," and "Kumbaya," while people still stabbing you in the back. You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And stabbing you in the front.
Not only in the back,
in the side, in the stomach, in the heart.
Mm-hmm.
I lived in Oregon for 12 years prior to moving here 5 years ago, where I was the only African-American professor on campus out of thousands, the only African-American that claimed to be African-American on campus in the College of Education. And I did move about blindly like a speck of pepper in a sea of salt.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
Trying to climb out and climb above that stare that people gave me. It wasn't a stare like a stare of comfort, like, come here. It was a stare of, like, why are you here?
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But the most important thing that I learned being in Oregon all those years was the importance of maintaining my integrity. I walked in a black man. When I retired, I walked out a black man who was strong and empowered to be who I am as a black man and to uplift those people who look like me.
Yes.
And to me, a person's integrity is the most important thing that they can have, because you wake up in the morning with it and you go to bed at night with it if you still have the opportunity to maintain it. I don't want to start preaching
this. That is so true.
This whole black man thing, with all we see in the world that's happening around us, black lives matter. Black women's lives matter. Black men's lives matter.
Right?
Mm-hmm. I would say all lives matter.
You never know what you're going to get into on this show. Let's take a little break. Let's take a little 30-second break. We'll be right back. Gary, you can make your comment then, but we'll be right back, my friend, all right?
All right.
All right. Here we go. All right, everyone, we are back with Poets on Fire, the Power of Poetics. Here we are in Washington, D.C., with a group of fantastic poets on the line tonight. So if you're not calling in, or if you didn't call in, or if you're listening, please call in. So I want to go to my friend Gary in Alabama. I think you wanted to make a statement, my friend.
I was going to say I had this piece I was going to share. It's called The Skin I'm In, but I can.
No, please, please, please.
Please
share. Hey, we're on a roll tonight. Yeah,
please share it.
Yeah.
All right. I wrote this in 2008. It's called The Skin I'm In. The skin I'm in, silky, smooth, soil, rich, fertile dirt. God formed, molded, made me from the goodness of earth. Dark and black. Black is magnificent, marvelous, and powerful. Break black down, watch what it builds up to. It's awesome. Beautiful, brilliant, bashful, but bold, bad boys, brave brothers. Love, because God is love. Legendary leaders and laid-back lethal lovers. Amazing, articulate, affectionate African ancestors. Christ's creative creation, cool, cunning, conversationalist, and kind-hearted kings, kindred of the true king. To dispute coke? Yeah, that's right. I'm the real thing. Black, like crisp brown bacon between hot buttered biscuit. The skin I'm in is springing looking good and it's better than chicken. Satisfying your hunger for knowledge by tattooing your mind with his wisdom and understanding. Come taste me, because I'm delicious. Black, the rare occasion the moon embraced the sun in midday. And like an act of nature, God purposefully created me this way. Black, a rainbow turned inside out. Proud, the skin I'm in. Black, oppressed hand bent over backs against the scorching sun. Raped, tortured, beaten, lynched, and resurrected like the Holy Son. More spiritual, stronger, wiser, determined souls. Angry dogs couldn't tame and shackles couldn't hold. Hooded hatred couldn't stop and fire hoses couldn't quench. Instead, it only made me thirsty, resilient, and more relentless. It's through me that Emmett still plays and the Four Little Girls sings. Sojourner speak truth and Frederick Douglass preach. Bessie Smith flies and Jesse Owens runs. Mega Evans teach and Booger T invents. Langton Hughes write and Nate Turner fights. Martin dreams, Malcolm leaves, and Jesus lives in the skin that I'm in.
Nice.
Man.
Absolutely nice.
Wow, bud.
Yeah.
Wow.
Okay, better than finger looking good.
Yeah, finger looking good. Well, speaking of that, I'd like to share a piece. No, I just shared a piece. Misha, you're back on.
Am I really back on already?
Yeah. Would you like someone else to go first?
I would love
need a minute.
Someone else to go first.
Okay. All right, Tovar, you're on.
Oh, man.
Okay, would you like somebody else to go first?
This is possible.
Okay, Sarita, you got another one?
Okay,
Sarita,
lady.
You got another one?
Can we have Amel to go first again?
I mean, I'm sorry. No one wants to follow Alabama.
I know. That's
okay.
Good.
All right.
I'll
follow Alabama.
Okay.
I'm going to do part two. of my grocery store poem. This is part two. And Sarita, you missed part one.
Okay. All right.
But I'm going to do part two. All right,
okay.
Now I want you to really listen, Sarita. You didn't hear part one. I want you to really, this is an experimental piece. These are the kind of things we talk about in the workshop. We're
okay.
Moving away from the conventional style of poetry, and we're just soaring in terms of looking at things from a truly broad perspective. So I want you to pay attention to the words. I want you to pay attention to the way that I recite it. And when I finish, I'll ask you to, in essence, to kind of analyze what you hear, if that's okay. Everyone else has had an opportunity to do that. All right?
Okay.
You ready?
Yes.
Basil leaves. Carrots. Oranges. Red cabbage. Kale. Spinach. Pears. celery, lemon, parsley, sweet potato, pears, blueberries, red grapes, coconut water, aspirin. I'm done.
Okay, so I kind of hear salad, smoothies, and arthritis.
You hear what? What you hear? I want you to analyze that for me, please.
I heard the menu.
Mm-hmm.
I heard salad, smoothies, and arthritis. So, I don't know where the aspirin came from, but I guess it was all health conscious. It was, you know, the aspirin. better lifestyle.
Okay, that's enough. That's enough.
We were all catching up to college.
No, oh, Sarita, that was part of my grocery list. there was nothing else to it other than that. There was nothing poetic. Because I read part one, which is another part of a grocery list of a diet that I was on, and that confused people, too. So it was... you heard
that's
arthritis.
That's part of your diet. Healthy lifestyle.
That's funny. All right, now
smoothie.
Someone has smoothie. You're a smoothie. All right. Someone needs to go. Who'd like to go now? Misha, Tobar, Sarita.
This is Tobar. I can go next.
All right. We've never had a show like this one before.
Okay. This piece is called The Love Game. And it's kind of old, so I don't know how this is going to come out. Hopefully it's all together, but it's called The Love Game. Last week I played a Chinese horoscope game, and the results said that because of the sequential list that I put your name in, you are the one I love. Now, I hardly know you, but before last week, I already knew that I liked you. Something about you, anyway. So it was hard for me to decide just how to perpetuate this game. Should I keep this entertaining information to myself? Should I share it with you just to witness your reaction? Or should I forget about this game altogether and deem it as nothing more than amusement? I played this game 2 days before our first date. I amused myself with the idea of even including your name. And how ironic it is now that I ponder the idea of whether or not this game could be real, if there is any substance to the theory of the science of the game of love in the stars and in the signs of moons and suns. Nothing can answer the question clearer than time.
Wow.
Wow.
The game of love.
Wow. And it is a game at times, isn't it?
Yeah.
That
many
it
times
is.
It can be a game. Wow. Game of love. Wow. It's deep. You're a bad girl.
I know, right?
All right. Misha, you're on.
Okay, so I guess I really need to know, is anyone going to be offended by profanity or vulgarity?
No.
I don't know.
No.
We are adults.
We grown.
This.
And if
it's
like off, what I'll do is I'll just mute you so we can't hear what you're saying. But go ahead.
Look,
you'll never know.
It's entertaining, but it has been mild, so I just don't want to be
okay.
The first one to offend.
Uh-oh, she's warning us.
No,
she's warning us.
Well, We cover the spectrum on this show, so please.
Well, I told you I thought I was going to be a spectator, so I'm going to go ahead and go with
You might as well.
So, brother, your invitations bring me no temptation. I'm not the commercial break, but the featured presentation. And with your lack of dedication to the commitment that you vowed, even if you did the good to me, brother, you smell foul. How could you betray the trust of your wife and your child and try to sell me a dream that makes you worth my while? Baby, married men ain't even my style. You see, some women don't mind being fitting to spare time, but I need quality like the finest of wines. I need space in a heart that's not occupied. I need love that's bold and can't be denied. I need what you can't provide. So, brother, go home to your wife, because there's no room for the likes of you in my life. You see, I might not know your name, but I know your type. Want to sneak in the back door in the still of the night, so deep in your wrong, don't know how to do right. No preference at all, any woman just type, lurking and smirking like creeping's all right. Maybe if I were desperate, that would be what I like, but since I'm not, please get out of my sight and go home to your wife.
Ooh.
There's no way you're going to get into my head. I'm sorry. See, there's no way you're going to get into my bed. Trying to get into my head about the love being dead, but after 10 years, you stay for the kids, or she traps you because she know how good a man you is. Y'all kill me when you say you was trapped and you ain't got shit. And you killing me acting as if you could give me something other than dick.
Wait a minute, what do you mean?
I respect you more if you came at me straight and said, look, I love my wife, but I like to eat my cake. Brothers like you are always on the take, and I might not know your face, but I know your type. And there's no room for the life of you in my life. So, brother, go home to your wife.
I know that's right, girl.
I love it.
Right. Can I?
I can feel you.
I will say I kind of cut that short because I got caught up in the middle, but I appreciate you all being so positive.
Can I back that up?
I only got some fruit and some vegetables, so I didn't prepare well tonight. I don't care how I try to make it sound like it's hot class.
Hey, that was dope, my sister. That was dope. I really love that.
You threw them good words in there, too.
Yeah, that was pretty hard and direct, yeah.
No, that was just the truth. There's nothing wrong with
it. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I agree.
Cool. I totally agree. Yeah. Yes.
That was right on time. That was right on time. I mean, we grown. We can
thank
take
you.
It.
I appreciate it.
Hey.
Yes.
All right, Gary, you on, my friend.
Let me flip the other end of that spectrum. This piece is called Looking for a Good Man.
Okay.
Now, if I hear one more woman ask, where are all the good men? I'm going to look at her and say, excuse me, miss, but where in the last 400 years have you been?
All right, then.
And we are right here, educated. Allow me to paint a Rembrandt masterpiece in your mind. For we are lyrical assassins with the skills of Bruce Lee, but we are not too hard to find. See, we have been pillars standing on God's hand, supporting the weight of the world. Now and way before. With just a cute, curly-haired daddy's little girl. So therefore, we are under you, supporting you, holding you, caring you, and loving you. We are also out here representing and trying to survive in this recession while marching for justice on political battlefields after years and years and years of oppression. Good men, we are the eggs in your womb waiting for fertilization, and masturbation won't do it, only sperm from a strong male ejaculation.
Ooh-wee.
See, we are found in your dreams and your... We are all around. We are spiritually sound, and we are heaven bound. So ladies, hold up, please don't disrespect this earthen vessel of clay, for we were made first. And remember, you were just a rib bone, not even a slab with no body piece. It came from the side of this piece of dirt.
Oh, man.
Feed each other. You without us equate to no birth. So ladies, please appreciate our self-worth. And beside my beautiful sisters, we recognize you all as queens of this earth. Ooh. Then you ask, where are the good men? The grandfathers, the fathers, the sons, the brothers, the cousins. Well, here we are, draped in Sean John's coochie jeans, saturated with the masculine smell of eternity. We're at the club macking in gear from Macy's. On Sunday morning, we're worshiping in our stasis, praying to be renewed in the right spirit of our minds while hustling 9 to 5 on the grind. Now, some of us made bad choices, therefore some on lockdown doing time. In the military, fighting terrorists for Uncle Sam. We're at home raising our seeds. We're real men balling in Nikes at the gym. See, we are those alphas, the kappas, and omegas stepping in them Tims. The backbone of the nation, we are in the pages of history from Genesis to Revelation. To inform you like Carter G. Woodson did with the miseducation of the Negro, and like David who slayed Goliath, the mighty warrior Samson, we are your superhero. And like Ralph Ellison, the invisible man, see, you oftentimes see us, but you fail to know us. Now, ladies, it's safe to assume that one or two may have been in your bed with his hand stretched out gently massaging your tender breast. No, all you saw was the top of his head as he drowned a week of stress in your wet, in your sweet, sustling, suffering sea of wet. Your eyes would roll back in a blitz of rapture, and the lights were dim. Good men, that's maybe why some of you ladies don't see them. Now you ask, where are all the good men gone? Well, here you are. Write my number down, and then when you get tired of looking, pick up the phone.
No, he didn't.
We shall overcome. We shall overcome.
I still have to snap to that as a rib bone. Hello.
Oh, my goodness.
Yes.
Ladies.
Among us.
Please.
Yes.
Pick up.
Oh, my God.
Tell them, Gary. Tell them, man. Tell them.
I was just a rib bone. Hello.
Right. With no barbecue sauce, right? You didn't have no barbecue sauce.
Oh, dry rib.
Didn't have no Heinz barbecue sauce. So you know you were throw up.
Oh.
All right. All right, he did it. All right.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. I love it.
Who? Serena, you ready?
I'm
right. Well, you want? Well, let's see. Want me to take a little 30-second break?
Yeah, let's do that. But in reference to your grocery list, what I analyze from it is life is colorful, tasty, but heartedly bitter. Because you said aspirin, right?
Serena, your poetry skills are growing so much.
Very
you are going to be poet laureate of the United States up to us.
Oh, my goodness.
Yes.
All right, you ready, Serena? You're on.
Okay, well, this I'm going to calm it down some. I'm going. That was tough. That is a perfect man there. That's a good perfect man. Okay, and Gary, you wrote that.
Yes, I did.
Okay, that was a perfect good man. You know, we all have our faults, right?
Right.
But the description that you had given, all the traits, that was a good, perfect man. there are some out here, and then there's a lot of them aren't. I mean, it, I guess
true.
Is what it we experience. But
what's your
preach.
But
yeah.
I'm going to calm it down some. I'm going to, you know, go kind of like PG on you guys. But this is something that I wrote to my daughter because, you know, when a child comes to you and they tell you, well, Mom, you know, sometimes I feel like I want to die. It's a serious thing. So it hurt me. I didn't know what to do when my daughter said, Mom, you know, I want to die. Sometimes I feel like I want to die. So I wrote this poem to her. It's called Something You Don't Know. Something You Don't Know. You didn't see me this morning when I cried, when I laid in my bed thinking about the pain I caused that you wanted to die. You didn't see me when I got on my knees and prayed, asking God to bless me to be a better mother than I was yesterday. You don't know how many times I asked myself, what is this life all about? If we can't come together in love to keep the evil out. You don't know how many times I tried not to use I'm not perfect as a crutch, though I realized that something is wrong that causes my soul to search. Search for answers to make things better, starting with me, as I search for answers to give you the love that you need. And if I should die before I find the answers that will make our relationship grow, I pray that God's angels comfort you, guide you during your moments of feeling low. I pray that first you read your Bible and experience God's knowledge of good, as I pray that he will always take care of you and give me strength to be noble in your life like I should. Remember not to use excuses as a means for you not doing your very best in life, for life can be lived without the taunting of misery and strife. Remember also to always be the best that you can be, to experience life's beauty in being and living drama-free. To my daughter, on Valentine's Day, I love you, Mom.
Yes, that's beautiful.
I want to thank you for sharing that, Sarita, because I know how personal that is to share that story.
Yeah, but she's good, and she's a good girl.
She's good.
And, you know, we can communicate. I guess what's important in a relationship is communication. If you don't have communication, there's no understanding. You know what I mean? It just makes a big difference.
Now, you know I'm a counselor by training, so you know I've always recommended, you know, always being able to talk to someone outside your own story that can be objective to the story. So you know what I'm saying in a sly way. Maybe you've already explored that. Yeah. You know.
That's
great as a parent that you, you know, dug deep. You know, enough to, like, really analyze, you know, the situation, having a situation, you know, being a parent with your child.
Thank you.
I also like that line when you stated about being a better mother tomorrow than today, something like that, being a better mother tomorrow than today. Did you say
right.
Did you say that?
Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah.
Yes.
I think that's a true reflection of what poetry is, just bearing your soul, and I think you did that.
Oh, yeah.
I appreciate that.
Yeah.
I did. Thank you.
Well. All right. There are a couple more people.
That someone wants to make it right, a rated, the next poem rated.
Well, there are a couple on the line. Some new people would like to bring in. We've never had this many people before, Gary. It's usually just me and you.
No, right?
Yeah. Oh,
yeah.
Okay. Hello, Erico 703. The first number is 5. You're on the air. How are you tonight? Hello? 703, Erico 5, and the first, next, second letter is 0. How are you tonight? Maybe they're just listening. All right.
Okay.
Area code
858.
Hello.
Kofi, is that you, Kofi?
Yeah.
You want to try?
I'm just
I know you like to listen, so keep listening. All right. Well, is there anyone else you'd like to share? Don't pass the hour, but
wow.
Well,
I got another option.
Yes, bring us home, Gary. Bring us home. We've been on a poetic journey tonight. Bring us home.
It's called Single Mother Syndrome. Here. And it's dedicated to not just all the single mothers, and just mothers in general. Now, I never know what it feels like to be a single mother, less known to have single mother syndrome. But I do know what it's like for Papa to be a rolling stone, nightly getting stoned, throwing square stones, gambling. No, not coming home, gambling with his life. He wouldn't look for a job, but searched the street, high looking for a trick or a fight, until he finally left his kids and his wife. Another sad scenario. See, I'm sick and tired of single sweet honey-coated hams, bring home the bacon, cook, pay rent, pay bills, and raise kids, while their children and father pay them with lies, disrespect, and neglect, allowing the government to provide his share of not-so-affordable health care and substitute his welfare with welfare. Yet, do he care? Why, hell no. See, I'm sick and tired of watching our innocent black youth become another statistic. Another number, another rose in the crack of a concrete jungle that will not grow in the summer because their winters are too harsh. Santa Claus are not plausible because it's cold, dark, and dismal. They don't have the energy to bounce back in the spring. They're too busy being angry with their check in the mail daddies. Therefore, when the street gets hot, sons lead a football team to slaying rocks on the block, and daughters quit cheerleaders, pregnant to by immature jocks slanging hard cocks. While a single mother worked two jobs attending classes online, in addition to taking care of her garden while secretly crying, she attempts to breastfeed his seed's wisdom and keep bailing him out and bun, constantly praying for their wayward sons. Now, single mothers, I know you are sick and tired. Sometimes you have to be the pastor delivering the sermons and looking for the morning after rest when you could have took that morning after pill. You may be the father in place of the penis. Well, in spite of dealing with these uncircumcised, foreseen men, you may have to be the child safety net, keeping the truth uplifted. And I know that's a job within itself, a constant battle. You all are a strong provider, but you are commanders in skirts, head of a young army, so keep providing necessary weapons so our youth can defend themselves. Well, I see y'all are at war, fighting an epidemic. The reason you all be PSMing. Stretching from single mother syndrome due to abandoned father with high deficiency of lack of responsibility hormones. Well, I'm praying one day we'll provide a cure. Until then, thank God for each and every one of you. Be blessed, my beautiful sisters.
Wow.
Well, everyone, I think that's a perfect place to stop as we've had an opportunity to take this poetic journey together and have a lot of fun along the way, but also discuss a lot of serious issues along the way, a series of life issues that affect all of us. So I say to all of you, good night, and as we say with the DC Poetry Project, let poetry ring. Have a fantastic week to you and to all of our listeners. So good night and be well. Thank you.
Good night. Thank you, Michael.
Good night.
Thank you.
Nice meeting some of you all.
Yeah, this is good.
Good night, everyone.
Good night.
Bye.
10 minutes.